This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Kim Allen Chapman and James Armstrong have been friends for more than 30 years. They disagree on many things, but agree on even more. That's especially true of their shared love of nature and passion to save it. Chapman's expertise is in science, while Armstrong's leans toward art. The two have compiled their essays, stories, letters, and poetry into a book, Nature, Culture, and Two Friends Talking. Armstrong talks about how they met and their conversation began.
Actually, we met because I was working at the Upjohn Company as a young man out of college, and I was taking night classes in French. And Kim's wife, Elizabeth, was taking the class, and, you know, she's a very attractive blonde. And so I, at the end of class, I asked her out. I said, "Would you like to come over for dinner?" And she said, "Is it okay if I bring my husband?"
I love it.
You know, I said, "Sure." So that's how Kim and I met, and we've been friends. I think that was 1981 or something.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. I really didn't realize that Jim was hitting on my wife.
Did she?
Until he told this story recently. What Elizabeth told me is she knew instantly that Jim and I would get along and be best buddies. I was really, really happy that Jim invited us both over for dinner. And here we are.
Here we are.
Many years.
I love it. Women are perceptive about these things. So now this wonderful friendship has come together in a book called Nature, Culture, and Two Friends Talking. So how did the idea for the book come about?
Jim and I have had a conversation since 1981 about the environment. We're both passionate about it. We both love to be in it. And along the way, we have both been writing individual essays, individual poetry, and publishing some of that, but not much. Jim much more so than I, since he's in academia. And then we started writing things together. So the book is sprinkled with a few essays or pieces, presentation pieces that we worked on together. And then the other part of it was an email exchange that we had 15 years ago, where we discussed the work of Ladislav Hanka, who you know, of course.
Yes.
So he's a regional artist, well known, and we discussed some of his etchings from the 1990s, which are fascinating and intricate and full of nature. And so, you know, these things were in our drawers or out there published somewhere in some magazine. And I just thought to myself, you know, I feel like we have a story to tell. We have a unique voice and a unique perspective on the environment. Plus, there's 30 years of thinking behind our writings. It would be really interesting to just throw them all together in a sequence, a chronological sequence, and sort of tell our story of our engagement with the environment.
The what makes our conversation so fascinating, you know, perennially fascinating for the two of us, is that Kim is a scientist who writes poetry and reads. I am a poet and an academic who, you know, likes to read science, and I love to explore the scientific ideas that Kim works with every day. He's much more a hands-on guy. He's out there in the world actually trying to make a difference in what he does. I'm much more of a theoretical person. So that's a natural dialectic, because I can come up with some pretty wild ideas, and Kim will always be the one who reins me in a little and says, "Well, let's look at the evidence here." You know, in other words, I'm kind of more poetic and theoretical. Kim is more towards the practical and data-driven.
But Jim is funnier than I am. So that's... So that's really an important distinction.
Actually, Kim is funny too. That's one of the things that has always kept us together, is that we laugh a lot. So, but when Kim proposed the book, at first I thought it sounded like a crazy idea, because who would want to read a book written by two different people? But I think I really became convinced that those two voices that you're talking about are interesting, because it's not just one point of view, but it's sort of like two different worlds colliding over a very similar theme.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with Kim Chapman and Jim Armstrong. I asked them how art can help us understand and connect to nature.
What science does is bring the faraway near. In other words, through experiment, through data collection, through instruments, we see things that we can't see by so-called common sense, right? We can see underlying causes. We can see realms of detail that are unavailable to, you know, to the native, the natural eye. But those all have to also be interpreted as human value. We understand nothing that is not somehow made emotionally true to us, because, you know, we are natural beings and we proceed through not just information, but also through morals, ethics, through attraction or repulsion. You know, the brain is not a computer. So art can make things real to us in a way sometimes that science cannot. Or it can make things compelling to us, or can make them human in a way. I mean, we know that the world is not human, but in order for us to act in the world, we have to bring it into the human sphere and value it.
So I just want to add to that, Zinta. I was on a field trip up in Manitoba several years ago, and there was a young woman who had just finished her bachelor's degree, and she loved the prairies of the Red River Valley, which is where we were up in Manitoba. And she was leading a field trip to one of her study spots. And you could just tell that she loved every single plant she looked at. She loved all the insects that she was viewing. The whole scene just worked on her senses in a way that made her kind of one with the land. It's a cliche, I know, but I really got that sense. And I saw all this promise in her. You know, I was well on into my career, but I saw all this promise in her as a future conservationist, scientist-type person. And so as we were leaving, getting on the buses, I just turned to her and said, well, thanks so much. That was just a wonderful tour. You're doing great work. So I'm assuming you're going on to a master's degree. What schools are you looking at? She looked at me and said, you know, I think there's plenty of education in the world. There's plenty of data. There's lots of information. What we really need are people who can tell stories about these places that we fall in love with and that we love. And I want to be the one to tell those stories. So you're not getting a master's degree? No, I'm not. I'm just gonna start living my life, which was really, really interesting to me. She said, we don't need more data, we need more stories. We need both, because if we don't, I will be out of a job.
That too.
I'm the data guy. I go out and get the data. If all I did was tell stories to the city council members, I don't think I would get paid.
We often talk about this, how the bubble that we live in. Since the origins of agriculture, 10,000 years ago, 11,000 years ago, we've harnessed the power of the natural world to create surpluses of food calories, which have given us this cushion. And then we begin to imagine that we live separate from the natural world. And this only gets, you know, mm-hmm. multiplied when we stumble upon fossil fuels, which was simply energy stored in the earth from plants, right? So we're living off of an inheritance. We're like a bunch of trust fund babies. And we don't understand that that's all going to run out. And then we're going to have to interact with the natural world. Or more importantly, as we see with climate change, that our activities are coming back at us in the form of really dangerous threats to human civilization. But we still really feel as though we're somehow distant from nature. We're immune, we're cushioned, we exist in a protected sphere. But that's just not true.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Kim Chapman and Jim Armstrong about their book, Nature, Culture, and Two Friends Talking. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.